It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome into the Virtual Bible Study. This is the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, July 16th, 2009. We're glad you're part of it tonight. We look forward to your participation at 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. You can also join in the discussion tonight with other listeners who are joining the program from Ustream.tv as they enter the chat room. Follow the instructions that are on your screen to go and be a part of the chat room where you can discuss the topic we will discuss tonight with other listeners. We hope you'll join in via the chat room tonight. We have an interesting topic planned for tonight, something we have not discussed on the Virtual Bible Study. We want to talk about social media. And we want to look at dangers that social media presents to us as we're trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. Certainly, we do not condemn social media. We use social media on the Virtual Bible Study. You may be following us on Twitter. There is a Facebook group that listeners of the Virtual Bible Study have formed and have joined. And we do not condemn social media. There are certainly many good things that are being done with social media. But like many forms of media today, we understand that there are dangers associated with it, and tonight we want to talk about the dangers of social media. We hope that you are ready to discuss the Bible with us tonight, specifically what God says about social media. My father, Greg Gwynn, is out tonight. He is preaching in Lewisburg, Tennessee. My name is Jacob Gwynn, and in my father's seat tonight, James Buchanan is here. James, welcome back to the Virtual Bible Study.
Well, it's good to be here.
We're glad to have you here. James, we want to talk tonight about what the Bible says about social media. And, you know, the Bible, there's no way the Bible could have referenced social media when it was written 2,000 years ago. There was obviously nothing in the world like social media today. But we believe the Bible does teach us about social media. Can you explain what we mean there?
Well, the Bible gives us guidelines for everything that we do and everything that we participate in, and every tool that we choose to use, and how we decide to use that. And so the principles that we read about in the Scriptures apply to everything that we do, and social media would certainly be included in that. Social media in and of itself, of course, is not something that's wicked. It's simply a technology. It's a tool.
But Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we have all that we need as it pertains to life and godliness. The principles of God's word can direct our life in the area of something as new as social media. We can find instruction from God's word that will tell us how we should allow that to influence our life.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as a child of God, as a Christian, and as one who is trying to walk in the footsteps of Christ, I need to be concerned. All of us need to be concerned about walking in his footsteps, whether we're doing so in our everyday lives at work, school, or whether we're doing so online. And how we handle ourselves online is just as important as how we handle ourselves when we're face-to-face or when we're doing other activities.
877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. Please join in on the discussion now. The line is open. We're waiting to hear from you. We'd like to know your thoughts. Likely, James, many of our listeners are participants in social media tonight. Again, we want to emphasize that we are not condemning social media. James, you partake in social media. I do as well. In fact, we communicate via social media plenty of times throughout the days and weeks. But we are saying that it is dangerous, and we need to be aware.
Oh, absolutely. There are temptations that are unique to social media, as there are temptations that are unique to other to anything that we may decide whether we're going to participate in or not. It may have temptations that are more prevalent within that sphere than would be in other spheres. And social media has a certain unique temptations.
877-381-4567. Questions@collegeview.com. Let us know your thoughts or join in the chat room and be a part of the program there. As we talk about social media, and it is a danger to us, the devil's a roaring lion, James. It's going about seeking whom he may devour. He'll look anywhere. He'll use anything that he can. And social media certainly is something that he can use.
Oh, absolutely. And he totally does. He uses it. He uses it to tempt people to do things that they shouldn't do and to use their time in ways that they shouldn't use it. Certainly the devil, as our adversary, is going to work through this as well as any other area.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." The devil's a roaring lion, and so tonight, the objective of our program is to help us be sober and be vigilant, because we know the devil is out there. The devil would like to tempt us to sin, and if we will be aware of his devices and his ways of trying to tempt us, we'll be more equipped to resist his temptations.
And this is an area where even Christians have let down their guard in terms of how to use social media. I'm sure you can. I know I can think of specific examples of people that would do or say things online that would not do or say those same things in person, people that are Christians, that are followers of Christ, but yet they would do those things online but not do those things in person.
All right, 877-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com. If you're on our update list earlier today, you got an email in which we asked you four questions to prompt your thoughts and to help us with the discussion tonight. We would like your input on these questions if you have not answered them already. If you are not on our update list, you can be so. If you will, send us an email and ask us just to put you on the list, and we'll include your email in our update list so you know the topic that we'll discuss prior to the virtual Bible study each Thursday night. But the questions for your consideration, and we would like your participation in these questions. Number one, is social media promoting narcissism? We may have to define that word. We'll get to that here in just a minute. Is social media promoting narcissism? Number two, when does blogging become bragging? What about blogging? Can it become a bragging event? When does blogging become bragging? Number three, what are the implications of the amount of time some people are spending on social media? What are the implications of the amount of time some people are spending on social media? And number four, does social media provide an opportunity for infidelity? Specifically, we want to talk about infidelity in our marriage relationships. Does social media provide an opportunity for infidelity? Let us know your thoughts, again, via email or via the phone tonight, or join in the chat room with other listeners there tonight. Let's start, James, as we look at some of the dangers. And we will also say that we'd like to hear your thoughts on any danger that you see. Maybe they're not the four that we've specifically used to kick off the discussion tonight. Maybe you see another danger, another temptation with social media. James, you had another one, a fifth to add to our four that we want to talk about tonight. But if you see a danger with social media, let us know what that danger you believe is. But James, let's kick off the discussion tonight talking about the amount of time that social media takes, because it is becoming a very time-consuming thing. The social media, keeping up with your acquaintances on the internet and their communications with you, your communications with them. Social media is a large consumer of time in an individual's life in the modern day society.
Absolutely, no question about it. The amount of time, when you count up the amount of time that you spend in social media and everything else that you have to do, social media is definitely consuming a lot of time. I mean, as we see in one of our articles here.
This article was in the Christian Science Monitor, and the title of the article was, "Is the Internet Cutting Into Family Time?" James, it appears from the author there that it is cutting into our family time.
That's right. The author of this article makes very astute observations, and it makes it worth reading the majority of the article. So we'll start at the beginning. Mom, Dad, it may be time to shut down that computer and gather around the dinner table. The Associated Press reports that increased internet usage, along with the proliferation of social networking sites such as Facebook and MySpace, may be a reason why families are spending less time together. A survey conducted last year by the Annenberg Center for Digital Future at the University of Southern California reports that 28% of Americans said they were spending less time with household family members. In 2006, that number was 11%. The center, which has been conducting surveys on Americans and the internet since 2000, found that 44% of Americans said that they were sometimes or often ignored by family members who spent too much time using the internet, while 48% said they were ignored by family members who spent too much time watching TV. While the center does not blame the internet or other forms of technology for causing families to spend less time together, researchers note that the rise in technology and the popularity of social networking are potential factors. In the AP story, Matthew Gilbert, a senior fellow at the center, says, "Most people think the internet and our digital future is boundless, and I do too. However," he adds, "it can't be a good thing that families are spending less face-to-face time together. Ultimately, it leads to less cohesive and less communicative families. Though watching television," now listen to this paragraph right here, "though watching television as a family can be a bonding activity, Mr. Gilbert notes that the internet is mainly one-on-one activity, and an activity that is consuming an average 17 hours per week among internet surfers."
17 hours a week, James. That's a huge amount of time.
That is an extremely large amount of time. I mean, when you look at everything else that we're trying to get accomplished, a typical family where you have both parents working, coming home from work, and then of course, don't forget about the statistics on television, another program, I'm sure, and then you look at the statistics on the internet, where is the time to be spending with our families? It's simply impossible to spend this much time.
A Reader's Digest article that was published recently is under the title, "The Case for Taking Family Dinner Offline, Why It's More Important Than Ever to Detach from Technology and Reattach with Family." And the article goes on to say, "Human beings are crave variety, and technology offers just that. Who's going to send the next text message? Who's going to fire off an email to you? Who's on your Facebook? The only way to find out is to plug in. And yet all that disconnection, one family member from another, is a major source of stress within many families today." Notice this, James. The author poses this question: would it be possible for your family to set aside specific times for family meals? It may take a little bit of effort, but it is possible to align the schedules of family members to create a single dinner hour. This may be an uncomfortable option at first, but when a family dines together on a regular basis and truly has the opportunity for conversation uninterrupted by a cell phone that must be answered or a widescreen TV that refuses to be ignored, the benefits are enormous. This applies just as much to empty nesters and retirees as it does to those engaged in the challenge of raising children. If anything, a couple's need for communication and face-to-face time only increases when the children have moved on to college or other coming-of-age activities. James, they're saying that it is difficult for us in the society that we live in, surrounded by the social media that's in the world today. They're saying it's incredibly difficult for us to have 1 hour a day with our family. That is alarming, and certainly is a danger.
It is. And the scriptures give families specific responsibilities. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, for example, in families, fathers specifically are given responsibility toward their children. Deuteronomy 6, beginning verse 7, "You shall teach them," he's talking about the Word of God, that verse 6, "these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Now, unless all this Facebooking and Twittering is being used to transmit the Word of God to our children, we must be spending too much time engaged in this.
Certainly it is alarming. Psalm 39, the 39th Psalm, beginning of verse 4, we read, "Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." James, we have a short amount of time here on the earth. The psalmist there refers to it as a handbreadth, a very short amount of time. And we are wasting an enormous amount of time in things that are relatively unimportant. And we're neglecting our family and our children and our relationships because of this. We'll talk more about it on the other side of the break, James, but it certainly is alarming. We'll want to talk about some other dangers, and we'd like to get your input. What do you see as some dangers of social media on the internet today? Let us know your thoughts. 877-381-4567. Questions@collegeview.com. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hi, I'm Wade Shelton. In 1 Peter 3:15, the scripture says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You see, we believe here at College View that we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us. And I believe that we are dedicated to this cause. That's why we here at College View bring you the virtual Bible study each week. Our hope is that you will join us each week here on the virtual Bible study in hopes of strengthening your faith so that you will be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. Please join us here every Thursday night on the virtual Bible study. I know that it's worth an hour of your time.
My name is Jack Coleman, a member of the College View Church of Christ. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study, and we hope you'll tell others about the program. We're always open to your feedback concerning topics for discussion and suggestions as how we can make the program more effective. Drop us a line at questions@collegeview.com or call us toll-free at 877-381-4567.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back to the virtual Bible study. We're glad you're a part of it tonight, and we look forward to your participation. Join in over the phone or over the email tonight as we talk about social media. And James, we got into the discussion of social media. Maybe we ought to define our terms, because there may be some who are not familiar with social media. Maybe the time that they spend on the internet is limited, and they have not been exposed to social media. Give us a rundown of what we're talking about when we talk about social media.
Social media is basically a class of web technology on the internet that allows you, or allows a user, to publish content at will instantly, basically, and allows you to form networks with other individuals on the basis of either by finding them on the internet and bringing them in through whatever contact you have. But the social networking then is basically you're forming a network of individuals that you communicate with, and communicating in this through the internet.
Now, there's another term that has been created within the past few years, and that is blog and blogging. What are we talking about when we talk about a blog or blogging?
So a blog versus something like Facebook, for example, a blog is basically, it's just a one-way communication where I'm posting whatever I feel like I need to post.
It would be the internet equivalent of a diary.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. Okay. Yep. It's a great example.
Okay. All right. And then Facebook, you mentioned that. Give us a rundown of Facebook.
So Facebook is similar to that, except it doesn't have as much space for posting that kind of content. But it allows me to post many other kinds of contents, including pictures of myself or other things that I might like to post pictures of. It gives me the capability to instantly message with other people. So I can go to Facebook and I can click on it and bring up my list and see who's online and decide I'm going to engage in a conversation with them.
Okay.
And that's basically what Facebook is. MySpace is very similar to that.
Okay.
As well.
All right. And so these are some of the social medias that we're talking about. Our media we're talking about, Twitter is another, but just the interaction of people on the internet, and we're looking at some of the dangers that are associated with that. We're looking forward to hearing from you at 877-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com. Before the break, we were talking about time, James, and we ran out of time. We wanted to talk about what our listeners see as the danger, referring to the amount of time that we spend on the internet. Keith in Hendersonville, Tennessee, sends in his response. He says, it is addictive, the social media, he believes, is addictive. However, as with anything, people need to be cognizant of how they are using it and how much time they are spending doing so, and whether that time is being spent in quality production of life. God holds us responsible for our time. He references redeeming the time, the passages that tell us to redeem the time. And if we are merely using all of our time non-productively in social exchange, that isn't good. There may be many of us who are using tools like Facebook and MySpace to teach the gospel that we spend a number of hours a week in doing so to the glory of God. And I agree, there are many people who are using the social media for the spread of the gospel, James. I think you probably have done this as well with some of your interaction on social media, and that's a good tool for that. But Keith warns us, if we're being unproductive and we're wasting our time, we'll be responsible for that.
Well, you know, it's idle chit-chat is definitely, you know, something that the scriptures do not encourage us to engage in. And social media certainly allows us to engage in idle chit-chat. Non-productive conversation doesn't accomplish anything.
All right, 877-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com. Thank you, Keith, for your email tonight. And Eric in Fayetteville, Tennessee, says, just like TV or any other recreational or entertainment activity, there is a danger that social media can end up consuming too much of our time. We are told to redeem the time. Again, he references Ephesians 5:16 and Colossians 4, verse 5. We will have to give an account of how we have been stewards of our time, as the parable of the talents illustrates. So thank you, Eric, for that comment, and agree that we've got to be careful about the use of our time. And certainly social media is providing us with the opportunity to allow a lot of our time to be consumed, and we need to be careful about that.
You know, I find it interesting. I was just thinking about this, that we spend a lot of time in social media forming these networks and that sort of thing. But, you know, we have, as Christians, we have networks available to us, for instance, in the local church that that should be fulfilling relationships for us, along with, of course, our family and that sort of thing. It's interesting that we spend so much time doing that. But, you know, we've referenced several times Ephesians 5 in verses 14 and 15. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because days are evil.
And, absolutely.
Yep, we'll be held accountable for how we use it.
Okay, let us know your thoughts at 877-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Someone in the chat room, I don't know this person's name, but says, I study the Bible on the internet, and certainly that is an admirable thing to do, and certainly a good use of the internet and a wise use of our time. And we've got to be making the most use of our time and studying the Bible on the internet or in person with other people. However we may do it, it's certainly a good use of our time.
The internet has so many tools available for Bible study, even that, you know, that you think about libraries full, or preachers' libraries full of books, you know, all of those books, most of those books can be accessible online now.
Certainly, I have a large library of books on my computer, rather than having the stacks of books beside my desk. They're all there on the computer, and it certainly is a time saver and an excellent study aid.
Absolutely.
Now, James, we want to talk about another danger as we look into social media and the dangers that it presents to us today. One of those dangers that we see is the danger of narcissism. And James, I think I brought this topic up to you, and it's maybe not something that you had thought about too much, but narcissism is a $5 word. Give us a definition of that. If you'll break that down into terms that are more easily understood, what is narcissism?
Absolutely, yeah. And you're right, Jacob. I had not given much thought. I had heard that social media could lead to narcissism, but as we've talked a little bit, it certainly can. It makes a lot of sense that it would. But narcissism basically describes the trait of excessive self-love based on self-image or ego. The term is derived from Greek mythology of Narcissus. And Narcissus was a handsome Greek youth who rejected the desperate advances of the nymph Echo. As punishment, he was doomed to fall in love with his own reflection in a pool of water. Unable to consummate his love, Narcissus pined away and changed into a flower that bears his name, the Narcissus.
Okay, now that's just myth and fable. That's not really something that happened. But that's where the name, that's where the word comes from.
Yep.
And what is the definition of it again, James?
So the definition is the trait of excessive self-love based on self-image or ego. So it's recognized as a personality disorder. They're often used as pejoratives to describe vanity, conceit, egotism, or simple selfishness. Applied to a social group, it's sometimes used to denote elitism or an indifference to the plight of others.
Okay, so we could basically say that narcissism is being self-absorbed, James. Ooh. Being only concerned about myself and wanting to promote myself elevate myself above everyone else because I think I'm somehow more important, I'm better looking, I'm special, and more important than those who I'm around.
Well, social media, I have my own little world. I can say whatever I want, anytime I want to say it, expect that maybe somebody else might want to read it because I think it's important.
People are going to look at me and be concerned about me. Yep. And the whole inner focus of this and turning and looking at myself and being consumed with myself, self-absorbed, that's something that's dangerous and something that's contrary to what the Bible teaches us about how we ought to view ourselves in relationship to others. And there have been studies about this, James, and articles written. ABCnews.com has an article, Facebook, where narcissists get together. And the article says that for people with narcissistic qualities, social networking sites are effective vehicles of self-promotion. Online, they can assemble armies of casual friends, choose the photos in which they look most attractive, and through quotes and comments about themselves, create a compelling personal narrative. The idea is I'm trying to promote myself, James, because I'm the most important person here, and I just need other people to look at me and notice how important I am.
Yep, and that idea, and that is certainly a side effect of this idea of the social media. It is focused on the individual. Every individual is absolutely important.
Our phone line is open at 877-381-4567. That is toll-free. We're paying the bill tonight, so join in. Let us know your thoughts via the phone tonight or send your comments to questions@collegeview.com, and we'll remind you, you can join in the chat room as well. So we look forward to hearing from you. James, as we think about narcissism or self-absorption or being concerned about myself, we see numerous scriptures that warn us about being concerned about ourselves to the exclusion of being concerned about others. In fact, we're told in from the scriptures we ought to be more concerned about others than we are about ourselves.
Well, yeah, like in Romans 15, beginning verse 1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the feelings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And so, you know, Christ didn't seek to please himself. He thought about others.
Certainly. And Philippians chapter 2 references that attitude that Christ had. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 beginning, says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. Don't be absorbed with myself, James. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we need to follow the attitude that Christ had, not be concerned and consumed with ourselves and our selfish interest, but be concerned about others and how we can assist and help them, rather than self-promotion, as the article on ABC.com notes narcissists are doing on social media. Instead, let's be more concerned about others.
And, you know, and social media certainly does allow for that as a side effect as well, in that if we see through the social media platform, I guess, that we see somebody is potentially suffering or they indicate that they've had, that they're having a problem, that does give us an opportunity that we should look for. That could be a positive use of that.
Okay. And along those lines, Keith in Hendersonville, Tennessee, responded to our question today. He says, is social media promoting narcissism? He says, I'm not sure that it is promoting narcissism, but there are narcissistic people who use it as a means of promoting their ego, and that certainly is the case. It may not be the cause of it. Maybe people are just using the media for that purpose. But I think it's a temptation as well, James. As we see this, the way that it's structured, it lends us to believe that we're important, that other people really need to be concerned about our life and what we're doing, when we ought to be more interested in finding out about others' lives and how we can assist them.
And the way that, and again, it also goes back to the time thing, in that in order to find out about the needs and the concerns of others, that again does require an amount of time that being engaged in social media simply robs.
Okay. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, we read about the last times. We believe we've been in the last times for about 2,000 years, the last dispensation in which God will deal with mankind. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And it goes on to list covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and the list goes on. One of the characteristics there, James, was they're lovers of their own selves. And certainly those who are narcissistic and are using social media, and those who social media has tempted in to being narcissistic, are lovers of their own selves.
Absolutely. No question about it.
All right. Let's go to a break. And then when we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the other side. Let us know your thoughts over the phone or over email tonight. Greg is listening. Don't know where Greg is tonight, but he says, on Facebook, there are games that encourage stealing, such as Barn Buddies and mugging people in Mafia Wars. People who would never do those things in real life do bad things in the virtual world. James, are you familiar with Barn Buddies and Mafia Wars?
I'm familiar with Mafia Wars. I'm not a participant in Mafia Wars, but I get invitations many times, often from Christians, to engage in Mafia Wars, to send somebody a bomb or to... you know, something like that.
Well, we appreciate you abstaining for that, but appreciate Greg's comments, because
it is there. Yeah, he's
people
right.
are doing that. I mean, people may think it's innocent and it's really just fun and games, but the thoughts are there and that can lead us down a dangerous path. So we appreciate your comments tonight, Greg. 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. I am resolved no longer to linger. So say the words of the old familiar song, and it's an important concept too. Consider some who should take the message to heart. First of all, there are those who are not yet Christians. If you have never named the name of the Lord Jesus, if you have not yet submitted to his will, if you have yet to obey the simple plan of salvation, you should linger no longer. Please realize that your sins have not been forgiven. You are outside the fold of safety. You are in jeopardy of being lost eternally. Make the important decision to obey now. You will not regret it, and you cannot afford to delay. Acts 22, verse 16 says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Secondly, there are some who are not faithful in the Lord's service, who need to think about the danger of lingering. There are too many who once began to serve the Lord, but have since fallen back into unfaithfulness. If you are one of these, we humbly beg you to consider the seriousness of your situation. You know that you need to fulfill the commitments you made to the Lord. The danger of dying in your present condition is too great. Don't wait. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning verse 20, we read, "The latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Finally, even those who continue to work faithfully in the kingdom need to spend some time in careful self-examination. Is there more you can do? Is there something you can improve on? Are there things that can be made better? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, we're encouraged to examine your own selves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. What better time than now? Resolve to linger no longer. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
My name is Cole, and I'm 8 years old.
My name is Thomas, and I'm 7 years old.
And our family loves to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the virtual Bible study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the virtual Bible study tonight as we talk about the dangers of social media. We appreciate everyone who's out there on the internet tonight. We hope you'll participate in the discussion. You can join in the chat room, or you can join in over the phone or over email tonight. We have an email coming in from Indiana, James, who says, "Years ago, I was chatting in a health chat room. This was not wasting time, as it was for educational purposes. What I did find out quickly was that time flies when you were using the internet. I started at 8 o'clock one night, and when I next looked at the clock, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. Then I realized that time can go quickly when you're not even aware of it. Most of the time spent on the internet is wasted by idle chatting with friends. We can better use our time in more constructive ways. And I'm not saying that the internet is bad, just you must use it responsibly. Bible study with others and research are two examples of good uses. And James, that's an excellent point. You know, we talk about our lives being busy and there's no time. We don't have enough time to study the Bible. We don't have enough time to talk with people about the gospel. We don't have enough time to train up our children. But we're wasting a lot of time on things like social media.
You got time to update your Facebook status. You've got time to tell somebody what they need to do to be saved. It takes about the same amount of time.
Oh, good point, James. 877-381-4567. Questions@collegeview.com. What do you think about social media? What are some dangers that you see? And hopefully you'll see some dangers that we don't see so we can be more aware of how the devil may try and get us to sin. We talked about narcissism before the program, James. We talked about the fact that narcissism is a self-absorption, a self-promotion, thinking that I'm more important than everyone else. Closely associated to that is another problem that I think that is in the world today through social media. It's not a new sin, but it has a new avenue in which it can be displayed. And that is the idea of boasting. You talked about blogs, James. Blogs are basically diaries on the internet, which we tell other people what we're doing in our lives. Do you see any danger that as maybe some of this narcissism comes out in our life, that blogging could become a bragging session?
Oh, absolutely. Again, we can look at ourselves. We can look at what we think that we have accomplished. We can share that with the world, thinking that that is something that everybody should glory in. And of course, I want to be careful here in that if there's something that we're genuinely rejoicing about, obviously, it's great to post that. There's nothing wrong with posting updates about what we're doing in our day-to-day lives for those that we don't get to communicate with very much.
I've seen a lot of people use the internet for posting pictures of their baby. They've got a newborn baby for relatives that are far away.
Oh, we didn't. None of our relatives had ever seen the newborn babies. But okay. There is a danger that we can boast about. We end up boasting about what we think is
important. Let me tell you how smart my newborn baby is, or how beautiful my newborn baby is, or how incredible I am, mm-hmm. or what kind of special things I was able to do.
Right, or sometimes people will use it to promote what they think is the best way to do something.
Okay, personal opinion.
Oh yeah, personal opinion. I absolutely, just promoting that and making other people feel bad via the blog. I've seen all of those things occur.
Okay.
And those are definitely abuses of it.
Let us know your thoughts about boasting. Is the social media promoting boasting? Pride is a dangerous thing, James, and boasting is closely associated with that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, the passage that is famous for giving us the characteristics of love that we all need to put into our life. In verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. James, if I love others, I'm not going to boast about my circumstances, my life, because I would not want to make others feel somehow inferior because I love them. I will not boast to myself.
That's right. We want to lift them up. We want to do what we can to help each other. We want to do what we can to help lift other people up instead of trying to promote ourselves.
Certainly, and we're going to be careful again, James, to say that it's not wrong to have a blog or to post things about what we've been up to or pictures of our new baby or whatever it may be, but the attitude has to be kept in check.
Well, see, even good news can be thrown in the face of others and can lead to that.
Let's use a couple of passages to discuss that, James. The first one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10.
By the great, did you want me to read it?
No, I was going to read it to you, but you can go ahead and read it, James.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, James.
Okay. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me.
James, why are you what you are? Why do you have the things that you enjoy?
Purely by the grace of God.
You don't deserve any of them.
Oh, no.
And certainly, I would not. It, for me to boast about my job promotion, for me to boast about how smart my children are or how beautiful my family is, for me to boast is taking the glory away from God. and somehow shifting the focus to me to make it look like I am the reason why I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Absolutely.
James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If it's good in my life, James, God needs to be given the glory for it. I don't need to take it for my own.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
And the danger is, and again, James, we want to make sure that people don't misunderstand what we're saying. It's not wrong to post things. If you get a promotion at work, James, it would not be wrong to tell your friends about it on your social media sites.
Well, that depends. I mean, what if I have friends that aren't, their work isn't going well?
Maybe they just got laid off. I might want to refrain from that.
That might be. How about some discretion?
Okay.
How about some judgment?
Okay.
That's it. Point five, we might or not get to, right?
Okay, all right.
Discretion or judgment is something that is lost in the social media realm.
Okay, you want to go into depth on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the social media realm allows us to say whatever it is we feel like saying, whenever it is that we want to say it, instantly. It leaves no room for thought in what we say in the way that is generally used, and it leaves very little room for discretion in what we say. And it has led to a severe decline in the quality of communication between each other, and people are willing to say and or do, like Greg wrote in about, things that we would not normally do in ordinary life. Discretion is out the window online. I mean, when I go to a blog of a Christian and I hear a rap song with a loud cussing, and I go to the website or the Facebook page of a girl that claims to be a Christian, and I see pictures of herself dressed immodestly, where is the discretion? Where is the judgment?
It's not there.
It's not there at all.
All right. And along those lines, James, I have an email from Mark, who's in Indiana. He's at a young people's camp this summer and said that several of the counselor ladies had an evening discussion with the young ladies discussing some of the pictures and discussions they've seen on Facebook and other social media sites in the past months. He says improper photos of girls in bikinis, sitting in bars, etc. It's like they think nobody from church will see it. In fact, that was the question. He says the question was posed to these young girls. You walk in and your Facebook page is up on the projector at church for all to see. How would you feel at that moment? An interesting question, and certainly, hopefully, it caused some people to reflect. And what are we doing online, and what do we want other people to see it?
And I believe that as a Christian, when I see such a thing, it is my responsibility as a Christian to go to that other Christian and question why it is that they would behave in such a way online.
Okay.
And not in person.
All right. 877-381-4567. Questions@collegeu.com. Rick is in the chat room tonight, and he references Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. James, this is, as Rick has pointed out for us, thankfully, this is the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
We cannot be like, people of the world are going to use social media for all types of sinful behavior. We've got to be different than that. We cannot follow the standards that they established. We've got to be following the standards that God has established.
When we decide how our minds are going to be engaged, we always have to ask the question, as Christians, does it renew my mind or does it deteriorate my mind? It's going to be one or the other. Does it help me grow or does it not help me grow? And if it doesn't, or if it's not edifying, if it's not to the glory of God, then what is it?
877-381-4567. The line is open, and we're standing by to take your call. We'd also like your email. Join in on the program via the email. We're going to take our last break, and then we go to the top of the hour. Time for you to get in on the program. Plenty of time for your comments. What are some dangers that you see in social media? Let us know on the program tonight. Don't go anywhere. We're back right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Hi, I'm Anthony Petrochko, a member of the College View Church of Christ. Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study. We want to remind you that our website, www.collegeview.com or www.thevirtualbiblestudy.com, has lots of valuable study tools available for your use. First, you can find archives of all our past programs there. We've covered a wide variety of topics, including doctrinal issues, moral and ethical questions, and many things related to living daily as a Christian. And while we don't have a search engine option on our website, remember that you can hit Control F and type in a keyword. You'll then see that keyword highlighted on the page. For instance, if you hit Control F and typed in the word worship, you'd find these past programs that we've conducted. Does it matter how we worship? What about contemporary worship and hand clapping? Are worship pleasing to God or pleasing to man? And instrumental music in worship. That's just an example, but you get the idea as to how the webpage can be used to help in your study of various subjects. Also remember that we have copies of our church bulletin on the website, and these bulletins include articles on hundreds of topics. You'll also find some recorded sermons, some Bible tracts, as well as information about the College View Church. So be sure to check out the valuable resources on our website. Again, the address is collegeview.com or thevirtualbiblestudy.com. And thanks again for listening to the Virtual Bible Study. Be sure to tell others.
My name is Alex Dvorak, reminding you to listen to the Virtual Bible Study every Thursday night, 8 o'clock Central Time.
For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. The Virtual Bible Study continues.
And welcome back to the Virtual Bible Study tonight. As we talk about dangers of social media, we hope that you will join in on the last few minutes of the program tonight. We look forward to hearing from you, James. We're talking about some of the things we've talked about. We've talked about the time that it consumes. We don't have enough time to study our Bible, so we got plenty of time for the social media. That needs to change. We need to take care of our Bible study. We need to take care of our other obligations. And then if we've got any time, and we may have to say, I don't have any time for social media. And that would be okay as long as we take care of our other priorities first. Talk about our time. Talk about narcissism, that idea of self-promotion, me wanting to promote myself. Closely related to that, we began the discussion of boasting and the dangers of boasting. Along those lines, Keith has responded. He's in Hendersonville again. Says that through the question, when does blogging become bragging? He said that would depend, would it not, on the nature of the blog. I know many brethren who are using blogging as a means of promoting the gospel. I hardly think they are braggers. I use blogging in my work as an educational consultant, as a means of teaching. And certainly we would not have any problem with those constructive uses. We're talking about bragging. And James, as we think about boasting and bragging, one of the reasons why we do that is we fail to realize the source of our blessings. We begin to think that we're somehow special, we're somehow responsible for the blessings that we enjoy, when God tells us that he's the reason why we're blessed, and he's the reason why we enjoy the things that we enjoy. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the children of Israel were going into the land of Canaan. They were going to be blessed abundantly there. They were going to enjoy things that they had absolutely no reason to enjoy. They were going to enjoy vineyards that they did not plant. They were going to go enjoy crops that they did not have to tend. God was going to bless them so much abundantly. And then in verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, actually, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the flint of rock, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that thou might, he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And so the children of Israel were going to get proud. They were going to be blessed, and they were going to think that it was their power, their might, their wisdom, perhaps, James, their hard work that had gotten them the blessings that they enjoyed. And they perhaps were going to start boasting and bragging about that, saying, look at me, look at how much gold I have, look how big my flock is. And God said, you do not forget that I'm the reason why you enjoy the blessings that you enjoy. And we need to remember that as well when we think about the temptation to boast and to brag on the internet.
That's a passage that should really give us some perspective We enjoy our blessings in very much the same way, especially here in the United States of America. We live in cities that we did not build. We enjoy blessings that we did not directly have to earn. We have opportunities that perhaps that in a country like this are relatively easy. It's very easy for our hearts to be lifted up.
Certainly is, James. We think about all the blessings that we enjoy. And people in other countries can work longer and harder than we can all the time and could not achieve the level of blessing that we enjoy with the amount of work that we do. We've been blessed beyond measure, and it is because of God's grace towards us. We need not to be lifted up in pride as the children of Israel were tempted to do. James, there's another temptation on the internet, on the social media that we need to talk about tonight, and that is the temptation for infidelity. Talking about infidelity in our marriage relationships, James, do you see that the internet and social media in particular are a temptation and an opportunity for infidelity to occur?
Well, again, that which does not seem real in like the social media in terms of what we say, letting our guard down, those kind of issues can become very real very quickly.
I came across this post on the internet, James, as I did a little bit of searching. Someone, I don't know who this is, don't know their background, but someone asked, do you think the use of social media is causing infidelity to increase? This person says, I am 27, but many of my friends are into their 40s and 50s. Lately, a couple of them have reconnected with old boyfriend friends via social media networks. In both cases, the ex was the one who found them and started the conversation. In discussing what their conversations, interactions, and even face-to-face meetings have involved, some in my group have questioned the intentions of the said exes. It has all started to make me wonder, do you think that as more and more people have become active on social networks, the chance and occurrence of infidelity is bound to rise, and not just any demographic? In the last 60 days, the number of U.S. users on Facebook over the age of 35 has doubled. The majority of Facebook users are now over the age of 25, with 26 to 44-year-olds comprising 41% of the market. The largest single growing demographic is women over the age of 55. While neither of my friends has done anything wrong, it seems like social networks open doors into the past that otherwise would have remained closed. Will there be any correlation between rates of infidelity, divorce, etc., as these tools gain more users? And so this astute person, James, is saying, is this dangerous? And it appears from this person's experiences and common sense, James, that these things could be very dangerous and promote and give the opportunity for infidelity.
Well, again, it comes back to the idea of playing with fire. There's a good book. It's called Point Man, and it talks about basically being the kind of man that God wants us to be. It's a very good book, and one of the points that he makes in that book is that when a man is heading down the road of infidelity, he becomes hooked first emotionally, and the way that that happens is usually by communication with another female other than his wife. That communication grows and escalates and eventually can culminate in a physical relationship. So it begins with what happens, out of the bedroom.
So James, you're saying that then this communication is sort of the door that leads to down the road to infidelity, and certainly the social media gives us the opportunity to have that communication.
Absolutely. Mr. Rader, who preaches over at Mooresville Pike, where I attend, has a sermon, and he talks about the number one problem in marriage. And he has consistently said in his marriage of, I think, almost 60 years, that communication is the number one problem in marriage. And, of course, the number one, the most important thing in building a strong marriage. And that is, in my limited almost 6 years, that's true. I'm sure you found that to be true, too, that it is probably the most important key to a strong marriage.
All right. It absolutely is. 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeu.com. Greg comments again on the program, and Greg tells us this time he is from McMinnville. So, Greg, we appreciate you being over there in McMinnville, Tennessee tonight. He says, I think technology and social media can be used for good or evil. The same internet connection that brings me the virtual Bible study can also deliver pornography or contact that could result in an infidelity. It all comes down to the individual. While technology may change, people do not. The Bible has a lot to say about the individual. Greg, we appreciate those comments, and I agree. It is up to us as individuals. We can use anything for good or for bad.
Yeah, David used a rooftop.
Okay, and that's a great thing in my house. It keeps the rain off of my head.
No, absolutely, but he used it
for evil.
For evil.
Okay, all right. Let us hear your thoughts. We have time for your phone call, or we have time for your email tonight. What about infidelity, James? What does the Bible tell us about the obligations we have to our spouse?
Well, of course, in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 and 19, we're told, Paul told the Corinthians to flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. He that commits fornication sins against his own body. What do you know? Do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? And so we're told to flee fornication. Run from it.
Oh, right. And sadly, there are not people who are doing that on the social media.
It's sort of a neutral thing, you know. We have to run from it. We see that that it's coming. That's what gets back to being vigilant.
Okay. All right. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 tells us similarly. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Again, James, we've got to flee. We don't need to be playing with any of that fire that is that could be prevalent on the social media sites today.
Yeah, Joseph didn't try to reason with Potiphar's wife. He fled.
He didn't chat with her.
He didn't chat. As soon as he saw it heading the wrong way, he was out of there.
Okay.
Done.
All right. Let's talk about our listeners' responses. Keith in Hendersonville says, does social media provide an opportunity for infidelity? He says there have been any number of people who met someone online and then began having an illicit affair with that person. The condemnation falls on the unfaithfulness of the person who does so, and not particularly in the medium of their meeting. An extramarital or premarital affair may start in a grocery store line, but they do not condemn the clerk. So he's not condemning the social media. And we're not condemning it either, but we're saying it's a dangerous thing that we need to be aware of.
We're trying to raise the flag that it is something that, again, is very easy to abuse in this direction.
All right. And Alan chimes in tonight. I believe Alan is in Alabama. He says this is an important topic. He says, I serve as an elder here and have dealt with several problems that stem from social media. They range from competing narcissism to blatant unrighteousness. I happily have gotten three different people to shut down MySpace and Facebook. Christians really need to be aware of the dangers this media presents. And James, we agree, it's very dangerous. And it may be wise to shut some of it down, if not all of it. If the temptation, if the devil is using this as an avenue to tempt us to sin, then it certainly is not worth it.
Well, it's sort of the Alcoholics Anonymous way of looking at it. And though we don't condone the drinking of alcohol in any amount, but the AA folks would say that don't ever touch alcohol again once you have left it, because of the addiction and the problems that poses. And I believe it's the same with the social media. We find ourselves going that direction, get rid of it, throw it out.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 is a good place to end tonight, James.
That's right.
Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We've got to be diligent. We've got to make sure that we're keeping our hearts pure. We've got to make sure that we do not allow the social media that's in the world today to corrupt our hearts, because if it corrupts our hearts, we will not be pleasing to God. We will not go to heaven when we die.
Absolutely.
James, thank you for your time tonight. A good discussion about social media, and we're not condemning it again, James. We're just saying that we've got to be aware of the dangers that are out there. Be on guard, because the devil will use any way that he can to try and get us to sin.
We have to walk in this life by faith and not by sight. We have to walk walk circumspectly, watching where we're going.
James, thank you for your time tonight. I appreciate you taking time from your family to be a part of the Virtual Bible Study tonight.
Good to be here.
All right. We appreciate you being out there on the Virtual Bible Study tonight. We hope you benefited from our time that we spent on the internet tonight studying the Bible. If you have any questions or comments about the things that we have said tonight and you'd like to get in touch with us, you can use our email address or our telephone number anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We'd love to hear from you. We hope that you will make plans to be back here next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.